and welcome to our Risk Insights podcast. This series is all about climate change. I'm your host, Roisin Geraghty, and I'm joined by Ralph De Mesquita, Principal Risk Analyst with Zurich Risk Engineering. And in this episode, we are discussing how climate change is impacting flood risk. Ralph, could you help us understand what is changing about flood risks?
Climate change, it is impacting weather patterns. And, you know, the Met Office data, for example, that provides a clear trend as to what we're seeing. All of the top 10 hottest years, they've all been since the year 2000. And that's really concerning when you stop and think about it. Conversely, the flip side, the coldest 10 years were all in the years before 1963. That's 6 years before the first moon landing. So what does this mean? Well, it means that we're getting more rainfall, and that's both in the summer and winter months. And not surprisingly, that's leading to a greater number of flood events. You know, are we just actually getting used to seeing storm events in the news now?
So are we able to predict these weather events? And will areas that haven't experienced flooding become at risk from these weather events in the future?
Well, the one prediction I will make is that more flooding is going to occur. So knowing that you're at risk of flooding, that's key. This will mean that you can be better prepared for that flooding when it does occur. You know, flood maps, they'll show you the areas that are at greatest risk of flooding, although surface water flooding from torrential rains, that can be harder to predict. Publicly accessible flood maps, such as the, you know, Environmental Agency Long-Term Flood Map, Natural Resources Wales, SEPA for Scotland, and Flood Maps NI, they'll show you whether your property is at risk of flooding, the type of flooding you're susceptible to, and a rough indication of flood depth. However, these flood maps, and as a word of caution, they tend to underestimate your flood risk and they don't take account of climate change. So please just treat these maps as a best case scenario. We'd always advise planning for the worst case scenario.
If there is a risk of flooding or there is likely to be one in the future, what type of risks should organisations be identifying?
Flood assessments, they're similar to any other types of risk assessments. You need to understand the risk you're exposed to and then take action to mitigate those risks. You know, the challenges, though, they're very different if you're a school in a flood zone versus, say, a housing association managing many thousands of homes or even a business with multiple locations spread across the UK. So the first step, understand your risk in terms of the flood risk today and then allow an increase in flood depth to take account of climate change. So in terms of your flood risk today, use those public flood maps, speak to your broker or your Zurich contact. It's particularly important to try and understand how deep flood water could reach across a range of different storm events and make sure you understand the flood depth to an extreme storm event. Following on from understanding the flood depth, next step is to understand how that flood event that's going to impact your building and the running of your organization. Also, have a think about how flood will impact the safety of persons on site, and also think about how long it will take for the site to be dried out and repaired. But in simple terms, the greater the impact, the greater the level of action you'll need to take. Investing in flood measures and flood emergency response plans, you know, we recognize that's going to take time, it's going to take money. So having a solid flood assessment across your organization or business, that's going to be a key step. And our evidence shows from a lot of flood losses and investment in flood defences that investing £1 in flood measures saves £5 in future losses. And one final point to mention, floods and storm events, they can impact whole regions. So consider whether and how your suppliers or your customers, they could be impacted by flooding, and include that element in your assessment.
So what actions can companies take now to help mitigate these risks?
Okay, so once your organization's completed that deep dive of your flood risk, it's going to allow you to direct your resources to where they're needed most. And that can be backed up by a cost benefit review. Fortunately, though, there's no one size fits all when it comes to flooding and flood prevention measures. If you're a housing association, for example, which could be vulnerable to flooding across a widespread area, then understanding where and how to temporarily rehome residents is going to be a real priority for you. Locations which are at most risk of flooding and with vulnerable residents, they'd really benefit from flood resistance and flood resilience measures. For a business, on the other hand, it'd be more about overlaying your critical operations and your flood risk. Of course, there's insurance cover in place that can reinstate your machinery and cover you for loss of profit. But are your customers likely to feel that disruption? And it's important to understand whether they would go elsewhere on a long-term basis. And if I can just add that dealing with a flood and disruption to normal operations, it can be a very stressful event for many. So taking steps to prevent flooding and minimise the impact of flooding is definitely the best option here. And finally, if you are refurbishing your building or you're building a new property, it's a really great idea to make sure your organisation has a strong policy around flood and flood resilience measures. Our regulations in this country, you know, in this area, they're considered to be weak by many working in this field, but there are plenty of options to help minimise the impact of flooding.
You've talked about property level flood resilience. Are there any actions organisations can take with the land surrounding their buildings that might help with flash floods?
Yes, that's a great point to raise. You've got soft landscaping features such as ponds or landscape swales. That's areas which are normally dry, but then can hold water during heavy periods of rain. They look great, they're a great amenity, and they can help prevent too much watering entering the sewer system. And they're collectively known under the term sustainable drainage systems. CIRIA, C-I-R-I-A, they offer a fantastic free resource of information here, and it's an area which Zurich are really supportive of.
You've mentioned one source of information. Where are some other places that organisations can get information for their flood risks?
Yeah, as I previously mentioned, you've got the national flood maps as a good starting point, but they can underestimate your flood risk, so please be careful and don't use these maps in isolation. But guidance on flood protection measures, you can find these on the floodguidance.co.uk website. That's an independent website for homeowners and businesses. Of course, there's Zurich.com's website. And if you look under our industry knowledge part there, you'll find many resources on natural hazards. You could also download our Zurich Risk Advisor app from the App Store. And that's got a simple flood assessment questionnaire to help you support you with this process. And we also have risk topics, including those on flood emergency planning, on our Zurich.com website.
Fantastic. So one final question before we go. Although it's going to be critical that large organisations take action, everyone can also do something themselves in their own homes to help combat climate change. So what's one thing that you and your family have done to become more sustainable?
As a family, you know, we've really support moving away from single-use plastic. So we now buy most of our ingredients for meals online for our company that delivers them in environmentally friendly packaging. Main benefit, though, there's no food waste as all the ingredients are, you know, specific for those meals. It means we're shopping less, so there's less temptation to buy those kind of less healthy processed foods and snacks, although sometimes I admit I do give in.
Don't we all? Ralph, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We hope you have enjoyed listening. You can also listen to our other podcast episodes on a range of risk insight topics in tackling climate risk.